Bellin. All right, we're looking at Ezekiel, the relationship to Pentecost. So let's go to Ezekiel 11, I think. Excuse me. I wish one day we got to go to Ezekiel verse by verse. But we'll do what we got to do here. Ezekiel 11. Moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the east gate of the Lord's house, which looketh eastward. And behold, at the door of the gate, 25 men, among whom I saw Jazaniah, the son of Azir, and Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, princes of the people. He said unto me, Son of man, these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in the city. Now, who's Jazaniah?
Rock rabbit.
Huh?
Son of Shaphan, the rock rabbit. I wonder if it's the same Jazaniah.
Yeah, same Jazaniah. Yeah. Which say, it is not near, let us build houses. The city is the cauldron, and we be the flesh. Therefore prophesy against them, prophesy, O son of man. Now, what's the essence of the prophecy? And what's the essence of their evil? They say the time is not near. And this is always the case, because the time is not near is the fruit of dispensation. Again, God's acting differently in different times. The time is not near. Today, the time is not near in the wicked man's standpoint, because the temple has to be rebuilt. And the evil one has to sit on the throne. So again, what that does, anytime you have different God acting differently in different periods of time, it's the same time. It's the time of evil. Why is it the time of evil?
I know. Building up the flesh. Building up the flesh.
And well, it's
for us, yeah. For us.
The time is not near. You can give 1,000 spiritual excuses. But the one thing about the time is not near is that it gives you time. Now that's always the case, from the beginning until the end. The time is not near. The time is not near. No. Therefore prophesy against them. Prophesy, O son of man. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, Speak. Thus saith the Lord, Thus have you said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. You have multiplied your slain in the city, you have lifted the streets thereof with the slain. Therefore thus saith the Lord, your slain whom you have laid in the midst of it, they are the flesh, and this city is the cauldron. but I will bring you forth out of the midst of it. You have feared the sword, and I will bring a sword upon you, saith the Lord God. And I will bring you out of the midst thereof, and deliver you into the hands of the strangers, and will execute judgments against among you. And you shall fall by the sword. I will judge you in the border of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. This city shall not be your cauldron, neither shall you be the flesh in the midst thereof, but I will judge you in the border of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord. You have not walked in my statutes, neither executed my judgments, but have done after the manner of the heathen that are round about you. Now, what part of your belief system comes from the heathen that are around you? What part of your theology justifies more time? And does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Part of your theology would be the way you are rather than the way you say you believe. What you do to disprove what you
do. Let's see if we can understand it more. And it came to pass when I prophesied, Pelatiah the son of Benaiah died, and fell down upon, and then fell I down upon my face and cried with a loud voice and said, O Lord God, wilt thou make a full end of the remnant of this remnant of Israel? And again the word of the Lord came unto me, Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel holy, are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get you far from the Lord, unto us is this land given in possession. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and though I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them a little sanctuary in the countries where they come. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. Then shall come at thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof out of all the abominations thereof from thence, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep mine ordinances, and do them. Then, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense upon their own heads, saith the Lord. I will recompense their way upon their own heads. Then did the cherubim lift up their wings and the wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain, which is in the east side of the city. And afterward the Spirit took me up and brought me in a vision of the Spirit of God into Chaldea, to them of the captivity. So the vision that I had seen went up from me, and I spoke unto them of the captivity, all the things that the Lord had showed me. Now, and this back up onto verse 13, where it says, Then I fell down upon my face and cried with a loud voice and said, Ah, Lord God, will I make a full end of the remnant of Israel? And the word remnant there is the word for seed. Shall I make a full end of the seed? And the answer is always no. That even in the midst of the most detestable things, which we will read, later, the Book of Lamentations, and total destruction, there is always a remnant. There's always a remnant. There's always a remnant. It has nothing to do with what else is going on in the world. Because the remnant always see and are always prepared to have on the right garment. They've cast off the garment of the flesh. They know that they know that they know who the abomination is, and it's them. And so the end of Israel, or the seed, excuse me, is always ready, is always prepared. Amen?
Amen.
So let's hope we're among that end. Okay, now let's go to 36.
Ezekiel sounds a lot like Revelation.
It is.
What was the question you asked about 5 minutes ago that you didn't get a response to? I'm trying to remember.
One, the question is, are you ready? Are you ready for it to be the end?
Yeah, where in our lives are we saying time is not
right
near?
So it's either answering to the world or answering to him.
I can't find it.
Ezekiel
36. And this is the time that is always true. He's prophesied against Moab. He's condemned him, Israel, for the care of the flock. He's condemned the shepherds that ate the sheep instead of feed them. And then he comes to verse 36. Also, thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy hath said against you, aha, even the ancient high places are in our possession. Therefore prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, that you might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen. Then, and you are taken up in the lips of the talkers and are the infamy of the people. Therefore, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord to the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys, and to the desolate wastes, and to the cities that are forsaken, which become a prey and a derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen, and against all Edomia, which have been appointed my land unto their possession, with the joy of all their heart, with despiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. Prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because you have borne the shame of the heathen. No, let's stop a minute. What is the shame of the heathen?
Those who go their own way.
But the shame is, the fundamental shame is that the man of sin, the son of perdition, has set himself in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And he shows himself that he is God because he judges after the flesh. So the shame of the heathen, the abomination of Israel, is always the same thing. It's always you. It's the same thing, but it manifests itself in the idea that you have time to finish whatever it is you're doing. You have time to worship the work of your hand. You have time to continue. continue in your idolatry. You have time. You have time. You have time. This is a hard one because it's so, it's one of these things that's, how does a fish describe the ocean? It's the only milieu they've ever known. And yet, God continually says we are without excuse, O man. Because the heavens have declared the glory of God. The firmament has shown his handiwork. Day after day utters speech. Night after night shows knowledge. There's no place where their line or influence is not seen. And yet we continue in our own ways. All right, we're just spell.
Verse 7.
That's all, Father, I've gotten.
You start.
Am I ranting?
No,
rambling.
Rambling.
Therefore,
thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up mine hand. Surely the heathen are about you. They shall bear your shame, their shame. But ye, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and you shall be tilled and sown. And I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it. And the city shall be inhabited, and the waste shall be builded. And I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit. And I will settle you after your own estate, old estate. And you will do better unto you than you at your beginning. And you shall know that I am the Lord. Yea, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel. And they shall possess thee, and thou shalt be their inheritance. And thou shalt no more be henceforth bereave them of men. Thus saith the Lord God, because they say unto you, thou land devourest up men, and hast bereaved thy nations. Therefore shalt thou devour men no more, neither bereave thy nations any more, saith the Lord God. Neither will I cause men to bear to hear in these in their shame. Neither will I cause men to hear in thee the shame of the heathen any more. Thou shalt bear the reproach of the people any more. Neither shalt thou bear the reproach of the people any more. And neither shall I cause the nations to fall any more, saith the Lord God. Now this is the part that's so incredible. He's saying this. What is it? About, well, it's not about, it's exactly 586 BC. And yet it still sounds like the same thing Christ said. Sounds like the same thing Abel prophesied and revealed. The same thing Isaiah saw. The same things I hope we see. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols, which they had polluted, wherewith they polluted. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through countries, according to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. And when they said to them, These are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land, had pity on them for my name, which the house of Israel had profaned, even among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore, say unto the house, there's very few places in my Bible that I've underlined or colored, but this is one of them. This happened to me I don't even remember. It was one of the many times that I thought everything had been forsaken. And I went up to some lake up there north of Dallas and just stayed for about a week. This was a very early, like in 76 or 77. When I felt totally abandoned for some reason. I don't even remember why. But anyway, this is what I underlined back then. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, so house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations, among the heathen, whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. And remember, the promise of the land had never anything to do with Israel, had never anything to do with the temple, had never anything to do with Jerusalem. That was always the parable. The mystery of the New Jerusalem. That never changed. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, and I will cleanse you. And a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I'll give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Verse 28, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I'll also save you from all your uncleannesses, and I'll call you, and I'll call for the corn, and it will increase it, and there will be no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then you shall remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and you shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your own iniquities and for your abominations. Now again, this is the operative concept. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate has become the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left around about you shall know that I am the Lord, that I, the Lord, builded the ruined places and plant that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it. I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inqu- required of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. And as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts, so shall its waste cities be filled with the flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Now, this sounds like Job. Let's go to Job 42.
Was there a, if you do something, I'll do this in here?
Now, let's see. What was it that the thing that he did? Let's read this first part, and then we'll see if we can figure out what they did in Ezekiel and what Job did. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel after knowledge, without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. Same thing that just happened in Ezekiel.
Yeah.
I abhor myself. There's no value in anything about me except the seed that I contain. And it's not for my sake that anything is done. It's for his holy name's sake.
Yeah.
And make sure you're in the right position. Are you doing something or thinking about you? Are you seeing with God's eyes? You abhor yourself and repent. In dust and in ashes. Now, if by now you haven't seen the emptiness of everything about you, and the emptiness of all your doings, then you will continue to be land not inhabited, desolate. Again, that's the fruit. What we're doing here is essentially counting the fruit of the Omer. The end result of the fruit of the Omer is total and complete emptiness. Idolatry is gone. There's no more value system. There's no more anything of you. It's all gone. Now everything is for his name's sake. The repentance, it's it. As we talked about, all through the beginning, there are 613 laws of Moses. There's very little, there's nothing that's a positive commandment to the woman. So you have to do this, you have to do that. All a woman does is be. That's why husbands must love their wives as Christ loved the church. And in that being, does something for his holy name's sake. He perfects the bride. Whether it was Adam and Eve, why did Eve eat the apple? she was evil and Adam was relatively good. It was so that she would have had, if Adam would have stood up and said, we can't do this. It isn't for us to become as gods. She could have repented. The world would be a far different place. Can't continue in sin that grace may abound. And that's always the case. And you will say, it's time. I got things to do. I got places to go. No. So those are the readings from Ezekiel for the last feast of Pentecost, which have to do in both cases, I mean in all cases, but the end result of the counting of the Omer is total emptiness. So that you can stand empty before God. See, and you're just celebrating what's already happened. But you're celebrating, you're really celebrating your repentance. God even giving you the power to repent. So that that seed can find a clean house, empty house. We never get time to read a lot of these when we study feasts. We always list them. But anybody have any response or thoughts? Questions? See what I am without repenting and abhorring yourself.
The other way around.
Huh?
I think it's the other way around. You see him and then you repent. You don't repent and see him.
Well, that's the major difference in what we see.
Well, that's what I'm pointing out. That Job saw it, and as he saw him,
only because
then repentance happened.
Only because everything, he had to go everything to find out that he ignored himself. What?
God caused everything that happened to Job to happen. To bring him to the place where he could see him and so repentance would take place.
Yeah, but its purpose in being in the Bible, the purpose of Ezekiel, the purpose of Jeremiah, the purpose of Isaiah, the purpose of the law. All of it, so we can see our emptiness. Quit living after the counsel of Jezaniah. Quit living after the ways of the heathen that are around about you. Quit using sorcery, magic, augurism, all these things. To accomplish an end that you have in your mind. Again, we're back to the same place. What is repentance? And repentance is simple. Really, from God's standpoint, repentance is simply integrity.
Yeah, that position.
Are you thinking about it?
You what?
No, that's the whole point. We keep somehow believing that we can use that which is cursed to gain that which is blessed. Because that's what the counsel of the evil one says. Study some more. Search the scriptures more. Let's look at that one. Let's go to John 5. John verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesseth after me is true, witnesseth of me. You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from mankind, or from man, but those things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you would willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John, for the works of the Father hath given me to finish. The same works that I do, you bear witness of me, that you, the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him you believe not. Search the scriptures, or what it says in Greek is, you search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify only of me. And you will not come unto me that you might have life. You search the scriptures, for in them you find principles of eternal life. But he's really rebuking me, saying, you fools, they testify only of me. You won't come unto me. That's still going on. Again, go into the bookstores. You even have books named that. I mean, people call them manufacturer's handbook. No, it's not. It's there for the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the only thing required is repentance. I promise you, as we've said, repentance is the only capability, it's the only thing that your mind can do that has any relationship or meaning. Purpose is repent. Just think if you were, if I were giving a, it's not me, but somebody gave a speech at any place. You search the scriptures, and then you think you have principles of life, eternal life. But they testify only of me, and you won't come under me, that you might be saved. search the scriptures to find out whether these things be true. But you can't find them with your mind. You can only repent. God that causes you to repent? Maybe. But I believe that the testimony of every living, dead thing, everything that you see, testifies against you if you don't. Because it's so obvious. Because number one, there's no time. God's standpoint. Then you know, if you want to search the scripture, you can, you know, you can see you and Cain who killed Abel. You can see Christ in Abel. See yourself and the brothers that sold Joseph, and see Christ in Joseph. You can see you and Nimrod. And see Christ in Abraham. You can see you and Herod. Kill the babies and see Christ in the babies. You can go all the way through. You'll see only you, and you are the chief of sinners beyond belief. Or you can see him. And when you see him, you should be like him. You shall see him as he is. But you can't see him as he is without your repentance. All right, that's we're going to continue on the readings for Pentecost until we celebrate Pentecost. Anybody have anything else? John? Gary?
I'm just marvel at this big gap here from 39 to 40 where it just searches the scriptures.
Big guy. Remember the veil. The veil causes you to, wherever you look, to see a reflection of yourself. What does this mean to me? Doesn't mean anything to you. All you see is yourself.